Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter 9, look with me, verse number 37. Luke chapter number 9, verse 37 says this: "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. He is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruiseth him hardly, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And suffer you, bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one of all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into thine ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." Look back with me in verse number 43. I want to use this for the text today. The Bible said, "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God." They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this thought for just a little while today. Boy, isn't that amazing. Boy, isn't that amazing. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for being good to me. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we preach today. I pray, God, that you'd touch us mentally and physically and spiritually today. I pray, God, that people wouldn't see me, but God, that they'd see you through me, high and mighty, lifted up. Father, you said in your word that if you be lifted up, you draw all men unto you. And God, I pray that you help me lift you up today. Save that sinner closest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. And I want to talk to you just a little while today. Oh, boy, isn't that amazing. Boy, isn't that amazing. Brother Rodney, if I could have a little more in monitors, that would be wonderful. Boy, isn't that amazing today. I began to think about this, and I believe that we could all agree that we are serving an amazing God. Amen? We are serving an amazing God. Matter of fact, when you come to chapter number 9 of the book of Luke, you'll find out that Christ is doing some amazing things. Whenever you begin looking at it in the first 10 verses, there's Christ and the commission sending the disciples to preach. In verse 11 through 17, there's Christ and the crowd. He is feeding the multitude. In verses 18 through 27, there's Christ and the cross. He is warning his followers. Man, verse 28 through verse 36 is Christ and the cloud. What a mighty thing that he's doing right there. And an amazing thing that inner circle of disciples got to sit in the glory that day and see Jesus transfigured into all his glory. You know, a lot of times we look at verse 32 of that where the Bible said that they was all fast asleep, and we begin to judge them for sleeping there that day. But the truth of the matter is this: how many times is God moving in the area that we're in or in the church that we are in, and the glory of God is being manifested, and yet we do not realize it? Can I illustrate it? Have you ever been to church before? And boy, the glory of God was there. People was testifying, man. Oh, the preacher was plugged in that day. The singers was plugged in. The altar's filled up. But you look around and there's some that, well, the lights are on, but there ain't nobody at home. Let me tell you what's happened. They've went to sleep in the glory. And Jesus right here is doing an amazing thing in that he is transformed into all of his glory. Think about this in verse 37 through 62. It's Christ and the child. And there's the object lesson for when we're in the valley. Whenever we think about God today, I believe that we could all say that we serve an amazing God. You ever seen God do something and here's exactly what you said? Man, that's amazing. Are you with me? I'll never forget. Let me give you this illustration and then we'll move on. I'll never forget one Christmas Eve getting a phone call about Brother Joe having a stroke or he calls it something else, but I can't say all that stuff. To me, it was a stroke. He was in bad shape, all right? Now, I'll never forget that day. Matter of fact, I left from home and I went straight to Northern. I called him at Northern right before they left with him. They was fixing to roll him out, put him in the ambulance. They rolled him out and put him in the ambulance and went to Forsyth, or was it bad? It was Forsyth. Went to Forsyth. I came back home and got a couple things together because I knew it was going to be a long night. I went to the hospital that afternoon and we went into that surgical waiting area. And matter of fact, several of y'all was there with us that night through that whole time. That phone would ring and Miss Debbie made me answer the phone. I'd go over there, Brother Brian, and I'd answer that phone while he was in that surgery. And man, I thought, I sure hope they don't say he's dead. Because that's where he was at the point of death. And I answered that phone, and I answered that phone, and then that last phone call came and said, hey, we're done with the surgery in just a little while. You'll be able to go in and see him. And I thought, well, all right. The doctor was going to meet with us in there, so I told Miss Debbie and the kids, and Miss Debbie said, well, preacher, we want you to go with us back there. And I said, all right, I'll be glad to go with you. Man, I'm telling you something, I didn't think Brother Joe would make it. And I'll never forget, we walked down that hallway, we opened that door, and man, it was huge in there. And all the way down at the end was a little bitty bed and a little bitty man laying on that little bitty bed. It's the way it looked because it was so far away. We walked down there, and whenever we got down there, Brother Joe was laying there on that bed. The doctor walked up and began to us, and to make a long story short, the doctor said, well, I just can't explain it. You've got a Christmas miracle. All I know to say is, but God. And you know what happened that night? God done an amazing thing in the life of Brother Joe. I believe that we can look throughout our life today and say there's been times in our life where we just have to say, man, that was amazing. I remember, I'll give you this and then I'll give you three little points and we'll go home. I remember it was 1990, probably 92 or 1993, back in the 1900s. Some of y'all don't even know nothing about that. It's 92, 93 because I was 16 and 94. So it's around 92 or 93. And I went to the Great Boonville Christian Academy in Boonville. And after our class come through, they closed the doors on the place. But anyway, I went to Boonville Christian Academy. And I'll never forget, we used to ride with a girl to school by the name of Deborah York. And for some reason, that afternoon after school when we started home, she had drove her daddy's hot rod truck. He had an old Ford F-100 hot rod truck, Kenneth did, and she had drove it, and her and Rebecca got in the front, and for some reason, me and Justin said, well, because that's what you did back then. You rode in the bed of the truck. Are you with me? That's just what you did. You piled 14 in the front seat and laughed about it. And today we're scared to death. But that's just what we did. We got in the bed of the truck and we started up 601. And we was coming out of Boonville on 601. And man, I'm telling you, things went south real quick. About the only thing that I remember is hearing the tire squall and hearing them scream in the front and laying down in the bed of the truck. And when we come to a stop, we was over 100 foot off the road down through the woods. We had slid sideways in the middle of the road and hit a culvert going off the road. And whenever the back tire hit that culvert, it broke the U-bolts that holds rear end in and turned the rear end completely around. Set the truck straight and right down through the woods we went. I got a little bitty scar right there on my thumb. And that's from a briar walking out of the woods. None of us was hurt that day. Are you hearing me? You know what we say? Boy, you was looking. Oh, no, no. It had nothing to do with luck. Can I tell you something? It was the grace of God. Boy, isn't he amazing today. Number one, I want you to see this. I'll give you three things. Number one, I'm amazed at his pardon today. I'm amazed at the pardon of God. Look what the Bible said in verse 42. The Bible said this, and as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child, watch this, and delivered him again to his father. Here's what the word pardon means. It means to forgive, to remit as an offense or crime. Guilt implies of being bound or subject to censure. Goes on to say this, penalty or punishment. The pardon or to pardon is to give up this obligation and release the offender. Amen. To give up this obligation and release the offender. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, you've never done nothing wrong, that don't help you. And if you're sitting here this morning and you've never sinned the first time, that doesn't help you. And if you're sitting here this morning and you've never saw yourself a wretched, vile sinner that deserves to die and go to hell, that doesn't help you. Oh, but if you're the same shape that I'm in, and you are, whether or not you want to admit it, you realize that according to Romans 5, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world. According to Romans 3, all have sinned. According to Psalms 51:5, David said that he was shapen in iniquity. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying that every one of us are sinners today. That every one of us have a death sentence on our head today because we are sinners. You see, this boy had a problem that day, and there was nothing he could do within himself but get to where Jesus was at. Oh, and when he got to where Jesus was, amen, there was a pardon that was issued to him. The child was set free immediately here in our text. I thought about this. Don't nobody fall out with me, but I thought about this. If that same scenario was in our day, the boy wouldn't have much hope. You say, why? Because they'd send him off somewhere, Brother Josh. They'd send him to a halfway house. They'd send him to the crazy house. They'd send him to some boy's home to try to help him. Hear me and hear me well. This daddy done exactly what he needed to do. He got him to Jesus. And can I say something to you today? You'll never find a verse of scripture for sending your kids anywhere else. He said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from them. It's my response. Amen. It's my responsibility to train my children in the way they should go. This boy got his son. Oh, this daddy got his boy and his son to Jesus. And you know what happened that day? He was pardoned from what had him bound. I thought about this. There was one time that sin held me bondage. sin had me bondage. Oh, but aren't you thankful for the pardon and grace of a holy God today? Boy, isn't that amazing that He would pardon us and wipe our record clean? I thought about this. A lot of people says, you know, Christianity is bondage. Christianity is freedom. Do you hear what I just said? It's freedom from the bondage of sin. Sin is the bondage. Being lost is the bondage. Oh, but becoming a new man in Christ and being pardoned from our past is freedom today. Number one, I'm amazed at His pardon today. Well, number two, let me say this to you. I'm amazed at His power. I'm amazed at His power. Look at what they said in verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. I'm amazed at the power of God. You ever thought about this? The devil and every demon in hell has to bow to Him. Do you know what? The devil cannot even do anything to you if you're a child of God without getting permission from Christ. You say, well, prove that. You ever read the book of Job? Job chapter number 1, what does he do? He goes before God. He's telling God what he's been doing. And God says, hast thou considered my servant Job? You see, every demon in hell, Satan himself, has to bow at the hand and the command of Jesus Christ. I thought about this. The power of God's amazing. The power of God is amazing. I was studying this week, and I began to let my mind go through the congregation and go up and down the rows in the congregation. Now I began to think about the power of God in our church. You said, preacher, what are you saying? There's some of you sitting here today that not long ago, the bondage of addiction had you bound down. Depression had you bound down. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? Depression had you bound down. You had got to the point of despondency. Some of you even in this room, and I would never call names, but you was even at the point of taking your own life when God come to where you was at and found you in the condition that you was in and pardoned you from that. But then by His power, He lifted you up out of that. You're no longer in bondage to that. You're no longer an alcoholic. You're no longer a dope head. You're no longer struggling with the things of this world. Why? Because the power of Christ. It's the power of Christ. What you tried to do yourself, you couldn't do. Amen. You know what? What the disciples couldn't do. What the daddy couldn't do, what the mama couldn't do. You that's parents today knows that we'll do anything we can for our kids, but there's some things we can't do. But aren't you thankful for a God that can step in and do it in His power? They was amazed at the power of God. I thought a bit about this. At the sound of His voice, He could have called 12 legions of angels whenever you study it out. I thought about this. He blowed His nose one day. Did y'all know God blowed His nose? He did. I got Bible to prove it. Exodus chapter number 15, verse number 8. At the blast of His nostrils. That's what it says. Give it to me, Miss Stephanie, will you? Exodus chapter 15, verse number 8. She usually don't throw everything up there, but it won't take her but just a second. I'm going to prove to y'all that I'm right. At the blast of His nostrils. That's what the Bible said. Look, and with the blast of His nostrils, of thy nostrils. Did y'all see that? He's so powerful that with just the blast of His nostrils, the Red Sea parted. Now just think about that. Matter of fact, Brother Buster Seaton used to preach on that.
He said from everybody that he read after that a mile and a half to the right and a mile and a half to the left, that it had to part 3 miles that night for the children of Israel to cross over. Are you hearing me? That was just the blast of his nostrils. You want to talk about a powerful God? You want to talk about a mighty God? Think about this: at the sound of his voice, the world was spoken into existence. At the sound of his voice, Lazarus walked out of the grave. At the sound of his voice, Jairus' daughter was brought back to life. He speaks to men that is dead in their sins today, and they come to life spiritually all in one day. Very soon, he'll speak to the dead Christians, and they'll arise out of the grave, and we'll be caught up together to meet them in the air. He's a powerful God today. He's powerful. He's powerful. Do you think about the power of God? The power of God. Boy, when you read the Bible, now if you read it as a skeptic, you're not going to get nothing. And can I just help you with something? I'm not being rude and arrogant. Can I just help you with something? Just believe it. Just believe it. When you read it, Brother Ted, and you think about what all he done, you think about what all he done. I thought about the disciples walking on the water that day, or the disciples in the boat, scared to death, and he come walking to them on the water. I thought about Daniel. Daniel was thrown into a den of lions, not a lion's den, a den of lions. There's a difference. That den had lions in it, and he never one time got bit by one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into the fiery furnace, and they come out, and the smell of smoke was not even on their garment. Are you with me? It takes you about 0.2 seconds to be around smoke. And my wife will tell you. You say, why? Because I go load the water stove, and whenever I come back in, she says, you smell like smoke. But they was in the midst of a fiery furnace, and they came out, and the smell of smoke. So you said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. He's a powerful God today. Oh, let me show you one more thing. I'm amazed at his pardon. I'm amazed at his power. But can I show you one more thing, and we'll go home? I'm amazed at his peace. At his peace. Now, I'm going to fast forward in the text to verse number 56. I'm not going to preach everything between here and there because you won't sit here that long. But look in verse 56. And the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. I tell you a sister verse to that, John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The peace of God. Listen to what the Bible said. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, listen to this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. I'm amazed at his pardon today. I'm amazed that he would care enough about me to wipe my slate clean. Can I get an amen right there? To wipe my record clean. Amen. To take my sins away. To pardon me from that. I'm amazed at his power today and what he can do. But I'm amazed at his peace today. I'm amazed at the peace of God. It is a peace that passeth all understanding. If you're not saved today, you don't understand what I'm talking about. But boy, if you're saved today, even sometimes when it seems that everything's going wrong in your life, there's something on the inside. There's something on the, you say, what is it? It's the Holy Spirit of God. I'm amazed at his peace today. Can I ask you a question? Do you have the peace of God in your life? When things are going wrong, I'll never forget. Miss Tanya, if you will, come start playing softly. I'll never forget. I love Brother Aaron to death, but there's one day that I was a little bit nervous about being around Brother Aaron. I shouldn't have been. It's really who I wanted that day and asked for, and it worked out. But Brother Aaron's the one that transported me from Northern Regional Hospital to Forsyth a couple months ago when I had meningitis. And I come out of that room, and I don't. Leslie said some had come by. I think Brother Brian had come by that day to see me, and Brother Jake Kite and some other guys from the sheriff's office, but I don't even remember it. Matter of fact, I'm still mad at Miss Tina because she works at a hospital and she never even come to see me. And we was best friends in high school, but see who your true friends are. Leslie's told me over. She was there, honey. She was in and out of there. I don't know how many times trying to help us. But I do remember that Wednesday morning, Brother Brian. I came to. I got on that stretcher. And I remember Leslie kissing me. She said, "I'll see you at Forsyth." I said, "Okay." And they rolled me out, put me in the back of that ambulance. Now, I really don't remember. Brother Aaron said I asked him if he was in pilot at one time. I really don't even remember the ride. I don't remember much at Forsyth till Wednesday night late. But I told my mama this. I said, "I can't explain it. But when Brother Aaron rolled me out of that hospital, and there was several that worked in the ED that I knew through the years, it was standing there. I remember them, Brother Brian, Sonia was there, and Sonia said, "We're praying for you. Everything's going to be all right." And she was just as chirpy as she always is. As they put me in that ambulance, I told Mama this. I said, "I can't explain it. But there was something inside that said, everything's going to be all right." Let me tell you what that was. That was the peace of a sovereign God. That when we don't know what's going on, and we don't know what we're about to face, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. Boy, aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful there's a God that'll just settle the storm in our life? Are you with me? The storm may still be raging, but he'll settle that in our life. Boy, I sure am thankful. And I'm amazed at the peace of God. The way God will give you peace if you'll just let him. You know what? This morning you may have walked into here troubled. You may have walked into here troubled because of a sinful past and you've never been pardoned. There's a God that'll pardon you today. There's a God that'll forgive you for every bit of that and wipe your record clean and let you have a fresh start with him. You may have walked in here today and addiction, are you with me? It's still real today. Has been creeping back up. Aren't you thankful there's the powerful hand of God that can step in? Boy, I'm telling you, that powerful hand of God, we could use it with instances in our family when God's fixed that, different things in our life. Oh, but I sure am thankful that if you walked in here in the storm today, the wind's blowing, the thunder's crashing, the lightning's flashing, and you're wondering in your mind what you're going to do. I sure am glad that we can pile up in an altar before God, and there is a peace that passeth all understandings that'll come in our life. I've said this before. C.H. Spurgeon was asked one time what the dying grace of God was like. And Spurgeon's response was this: "I know nothing of the dying grace of God, but when I need to, I will." Can I just say that again? I know nothing about the dying grace of God, but when I need to, I will. In 18 years of pastoring, man, I've stood with a lot of people in their last days. And I've seen them be troubled, and then all of a sudden, there's just a calmness comes over them. They don't struggle to breathe no more. Are you with me? Some of you saw it. Some of you have stood with me, or I stood with you, with your family member during that time. And let me tell you what that is. It's called the dying grace of God. His grace is sufficient no matter what we need. Amen. No matter what we're going through, no matter the storm, the peace and the grace of God, it's sufficient today. Boy, isn't that amazing? We think about His pardon. We think about His power. We think about His peace. I think the only way we could say is, boy, isn't that amazing, Father?